here on The Scoop, and we're going to talk Vikings football with AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM, recapping week three of the preseason. These chats with AJ throughout the Vikings season brought to you by Jackpot Junction.
We bring AJ on. AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's good to be back. It's good to be talking football again. I think we're in a good place and ready for the regular season just around the corner to start.
And ready for Kyle Sloter to get the week one start, am I right?
How about that? You come out of that third most important preseason game, and the number one talker, well, maybe not number one talker, but the one of the talkers that you're going after is who should be the backup quarterback. That's just so Minnesota Vikings, I can't even explain it.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later on here. I did want to start in recapping the game. Vikings won 21-20 over Seattle. I did want to start by taking a look at the Vikings first team offense. They got their first extended run of the preseason, and the results were here and there. I mean, they put together a very nice extended drive that ended up in a missed field goal, unfortunately. But AJ, in looking at what we saw from the first team offense, what was your reaction to the Kirk Cousins led Vikings?
Well, my lasting impression from the first team is I'm glad that coming out of that second preseason game when they struggled pretty mightily, that they were able to get out there and move the football. Now, what they weren't able to do and what they did struggle with was the finishing, you know, scoring points, actually getting into the end zone and or have it be the field goal scenario with Daniel Carlson. That's where they struggled this time around. But the fact that they got out there, that they moved the football up and down the field, that Kirk Cousins was able to do some things, it made me a little more comfortable with what they were doing and put a lot of the worries that we had from that second preseason game to the side.
How about Laquon Treadwell? We've been talking about him all offseason. He's looked good during training camp in getting ready for the season. And with a lot of attention given to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, it seemed like Treadwell had an opportunity to make a couple of pretty nice catches on Friday. How much more of that are we going to see as the season progresses?
You know, I think what we saw the other day is kind of what we're going to get from Treadwell. He's going to give you some big catches, some strong catches. He's not going to really stretch the field. It's a weird situation. You know, he was a dominant wide receiver in the SEC, and that's good competition there. He found a way to really put up some big numbers against good players, against good teams, and he gets to the NFL, and it just doesn't translate. And I think that you're seeing the difference between college football and the NFL for some players. Some are able to make that leap. Some are athletic enough. Some are quick enough. I just don't know that he is. And that leaves him struggling to find separation. It leaves him with an opportunity to not necessarily get as open as he should be able to. So it gets to a point where he's just not going to get open. And I just don't think you're going to get a chance to see him do the big plays that he maybe did in college. And kind of what we see is what we're going to get from Laquon Treadwell.
We got an appetizer, forgive the pun, from Dalvin Cook in the game on Friday. He had a couple of carries. Just good mainly to see Dalvin get a chance to be back out on the field. And there was some question as to whether or not he would actually play in Friday's game. He did. Are we going to see anything from Dalvin in week four, or is it just getting him on the field and then save him for the start of the regular season?
No, you know, they're done with him for the preseason. They just wanted to see him get tackled a little bit. They wanted to see him get out there and get some full speed reps, and that's it. So that one drive that he got tackled a couple times, there really wasn't much of an opportunity to make anything out of those plays because the offensive line hadn't opened up a hole. But they wanted to see him get hit. They wanted to see him get back up. And then they want to see him in the regular season. And you know, the best way to do that is to protect him from further injury. And doing that is keeping him off the field. So, you know, you get in this fourth preseason game, you're going to be behind, second, third team offensive linemen on a team that already is stretched pretty thin when it comes to offensive linemen. There's no way that they're going to put him out there anymore, put him in harm's way any further. We're going to have to wait until the regular season to get Dalvin Cook and get a look at him.
AJ, we did get a trade yesterday by the Vikings. They acquired Brett Jones from the New York Giants, Pat Shurmur, a player from Shurmur's team that was likely going to be cut, and Shurmur ended up working out a trade to send him here. And I found it interesting. I know you were at the press conference today with John DeFilippo, talking about how Jones expects to be used. Elaborate a little bit on what DeFilippo said about how Jones will factor in on this offensive line.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, he's a depth guy. It's a situation where you're going to have a guy who comes in as a swing guard center and gives you an opportunity to find some backup help. I don't think they expect him to come in and start, though he did start, 13 games, I think, for the Giants last season. That's not what they're looking for here. It's Pat Elflein insurance, just in case he isn't able to come back from his injury the way that they hope that he is. It gives them an opportunity then to, find a way to get some depth. And that depth is something that they've really been struggling with. This is kind of essentially replacing Nick Easton. Nick Easton was your starter at left guard, but at the same time, he was also your backup center. He was your swing guard center player. That's the role that Jones is going to play. It just might be more of a depth, more of a backup kind of a role for the time being. But that's what it's going to be. An interesting situation, like you mentioned, with Shurmur, his history with this team, his ability to reach out. And it sounds like they were the ones, the Giants, who initiated this conversation for this trade. And for a seventh-round pick, get yourself some depth on the offensive line. That's not going to hurt anybody. And I think it's probably a good decision for this team in the pinch that they're in.
Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. And another comment at the press conference today that I found fascinating was George Edwards talking about how they expect to use George Iloka throughout the season. He had a chance to get into the game on Friday, which I thought was really incredible considering the whirlwind week that he had. But AJ, it sounds like they are going to try Iloka at kind of a hybrid linebacker position at some points during the year.
Yeah, kind of an opportunity to give this team a little something that maybe they don't have right now. It's a hybrid linebacker position that is going to give the team a chance to, put a guy in there for some different sets. Mike Zimmer likes to get creative. He likes to be different and keep the offense guessing when he is out there for this this football team. So you have a guy like George Iloka, who gives you the flexibility. He's a big dude, 6'4", 225 pounds. It gives you the flexibility to fall back as a safety or to come forward as a linebacker. So just a different defensive set that's going to keep the opponents guessing and hopefully give the Vikings an advantage when they get out there and just keep everybody on edge.
In looking in general at the game against Seattle, were there any areas in particular that concerned you from what you saw?
You're concerned about the kicking game a little bit. You're concerned about special teams in general. I think maybe that's a better way to put it. Some bad punts, some bad kicks, bad coverage continues. And then obviously the missed field goals is a big concern there too. They didn't seem overly concerned by it when we talked to Mike Pleaser today, but at the same time, they did focus on it and they're paying attention to it so that they can get this thing figured out, because those are the things that are going to cost this team games come the regular season if they're still missing field goals, missing extra points, and doing those sorts of things. So they're doing what they can to fix it now, and hopefully it doesn't become a regular season problem for them.
I do want to go to the two-point conversion after the Vikings finally scored a touchdown, coming after the missed field goal by Daniel Carlson. And Zimmer said, well, if they're going to miss field goals, then we're going to go for two. We're not going to see something like that more often in the regular season, are we?
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. This is Mike Zimmer is one of those more aggressive coaches that is not only going to send a message, but at the same time is going to do what's best for his football team to win. And if guys like Mike Tomlin are going through and showcasing that you can be effective with a two-point conversion, being aggressive in that scenario, you're going to see other coaches follow suit. It's a copycat league. We hear that all the time. And this is one of those situations where if there are teams that are finding more success with the two-point conversion, I wouldn't put it past a guy like Mike Zimmer to be on the front edge of those teams who are deciding to maybe go that way.
AJ, looking at what's coming up, the Vikings will finish off the preseason with the Tennessee Titans on Thursday. Any roster position spots that you figure that the Vikings will be keeping a close eye on in terms of roster battles?
Well, you know, obviously they're going to be looking at an offensive line for their own depth, but for other guys that have become available to go out and see how they can bolster this team and how they can bolster this team's depth when the regular season comes. So you're going to have an opportunity there. Cornerback is always a position that they're looking at. Wide receiver is interesting this year because obviously you have your top two guys in Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Then what do you have after that? You've got a bunch of young guys that are making a name for themselves, some that did better in training camp than they did in the preseason, some that are battling injuries. So I think that's another one of those positions that just because of the numbers, you're always going to pay attention to and look for. But, you know, this team has a lot of veteran depth. They have a lot of veteran leadership. But you're never not looking to make your team better. And as these players become available throughout the league, when they make these cuts, there's only one cut this year again. It goes from 90 to 53. There is no 75-man cut like there has been in years past. They're going to be scouring the waiver wires looking around. But, again, maybe what you saw with them working with the Giants and getting a trade, being proactive, is where they're going to be, because this team was a good team last year, which means they're at the bottom of the waiver wire, and they get last priority when it comes to some of these players when they're released.
AJ, in terms of content as we get closer to the start of the regular season, anything that listeners can check on over at KFAN.com?
Lots of stuff. We're updating it every day. You know, an article on George Iloka in that hybrid scenario. An article on Terrence Newman and how he stays young. You know, he's 40 years old now. You have an opportunity there with an old guy who, for whatever reason, is staying effective in the NFL. George Edwards kind of talked about why that might be and some of the things about this new facility for the Minnesota Vikings that might be benefiting those players. So those updates will be coming hot and furious throughout the week and as we get ready for the regular season.
Outstanding. AJ, thanks so much for joining the Scoop again here today. We'll see how things go in week four of the preseason. One more week and then we've got regular season football. Can't wait.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it. It's always good to be back.